This is 1A. I'm Jen White in Washington. Los Angeles County topped 1 million coronavirus cases this week, making it the first county in the country to surpass a million. Hospitals are packed. The death rate has doubled. LA officials recently lifted air quality limits so they could conduct more cremations. And health experts anticipate things will only get worse as cases contracted over the holidays continue to be diagnosed. Here to give us the latest is Kaylee Wells. She's a reporter for KCRW in Santa Monica. Kaylee, it's great to have you.
Hey, Jen. Glad to be on.
So Los Angeles County makes up more than a third of the 3 million coronavirus cases in California. What do we know about why LA is being hit so hard right now?
Well, I mean, L.A. is dense. It has a reputation of being spread out, but all of us live on top of each other. There's expensive housing. There's high poverty rates. So there's a lot of communal living here. There's also just a lot of essential workers here. It's just harder to work at home. So you're going to be interacting with people. The other thing is there's just not a lot of consistency in Southern California for the kind of rules that we have. We banned outdoor dining, then we allowed it again, then we banned it again. Some of the local leaders aren't so thrilled about that. And so you hear about all of that and people just become a little more distrustful of local guidelines and they get just kind of tired of being scared.
We're only a couple of weeks out from the new year. How worried are health officials that this number will go up as cases from the holidays continue to appear?
Well, in terms of the holiday bump, we've pretty much arrived. Mm-hmm. We're actually starting to see the curve show signs of flattening, but that's not really good enough news because, yes, it's flattening, but even just in LA County, we're seeing over 10,000 cases a day where the health officials are predicting that one in three people have already been infected and that somebody's getting infected every 6 seconds and somebody's dying every 8 minutes. Like those numbers, okay, yes, it's flattening, but that's just not really an acceptable place to be.
Now, Dodger Stadium became a major vaccination site last week. You're heading to a new vaccine site in Long Beach later today. Describe the vaccine rollout plan for the county.
Yeah, so both of those places are what they're calling super pods or super points of distribution, just meaning very large places. This has been something that started last week with Disneyland. They're trying to get more and more of these out just to get more shots into people's arms. And the scene is pretty remarkable. Dodger Stadium, it's just a sea of traffic cones and cars coming in and out. They're hoping to get up to 12,000 people there vaccinated every day. Long Beach is obviously going to be a bit of a smaller operation, but you know, in addition to all of the pharmacies and everything else, these bigger sites are just a great way to be getting more people through. And there's other places. We're going to have Six Flags Magic Mountain. There's going to be the Forum, which is a huge like concert venue. Those are popping up all over the place here.
And in terms of vaccine access, how are things being ordered right now? Who's at the top of the list? Who's closer to the bottom?
That turns out to be a very complicated question because the Governor Newsom decided to follow the CDC recommendations and recommend that we start prioritizing our residents who are 65 and older. But then when you get at the county level, some have said, yep, we're ready to do that. And others have said they're not. So Orange County and Riverside County, which both border Los Angeles County, they've said, yep, let's do it. And people there can make appointments. And then you have LA County who said, well, we're not there yet. We've got a million healthcare workers and long-term care residents who are what we are in phase 1A is what we call them. And we were only about halfway through them by the end of last week. So here, if you are 65 and older, you can't make an appointment yet, even though the governor has said that you can. So it depends on where you are. But after healthcare workers and long-term care residents, then we have 65 and older. You've got educators, grocery store workers. That's in phase 1B. It's a very complicated, not necessarily intuitive set of stages. But then you get, we have that, you've got phase 1C with sort of more essential groups that are less at risk, communication, that would probably count as me, as media. And then phase 2, which we're not expected to see until like late spring, early summer, is the sort of everybody else general population category.
Now, the plan was to get 500,000 healthcare workers vaccinated by the end of the month. Are they on track to meet that goal?
It looks like we are. Everybody seems to be pretty confident that that is going to happen. We were already in 500,000 by the last weekend. And now that we've got Disneyland and Dodger Stadium and these big places vaccinating a lot of people at once, people are pretty confident. And so they are saying, hey, if you are an educator, if you are in phase 1B, you can look to start making an appointment by early February.
Now, it's important to note here how big LA County is. There are over 10 million people. It's almost the size as of Georgia, as far as population goes. How has the county's size contributed to the challenge of mounting a consistent response?
Well, I think because, you know, if you're looking at just phase 1A and there's a million people in it, there's a lot of people to get through before you get to start moving on. And the more that you, you know, make more specific, get more specific about who gets to have the vaccine, you know, the longer it's going to take to get through the phases. Phase 1A, for example, we had three tiers in that. And so the more specific you get, the slower it's going to roll out. And just when you talk about LA County compared to some of the smaller places like Orange County, the problem is, and what LA Mayor Eric Garcetti was just said, we just don't have enough shots yet to be moving on to other people. So the bigger you get, the more complicated of a process it becomes.
And how are individual public health departments working with one another? Do you get the sense that there is coordination happening, or is this sort of more of a patchwork like we're seeing across the nation as a whole?
I think patchwork is probably a better way to put it. I think within each individual public health group that it is going pretty well. But then even within, say, LA County, you have public health officials saying we should do one thing. We should say ban outdoor dining. And then you have local leaders saying, well, we shouldn't ban outdoor dining. Or they say, well, we should not prioritize 65 and older yet. We're not there yet. And you have local leaders saying, well, we should be doing that. So even between just different political groups, you have that problem. And then beyond that, okay, so you have LA County saying we do one thing. You have Orange County saying we do another. It is kind of more of a patchwork process so far.
We're talking to Kaylee Wells. She's a reporter for KCRW based in Santa Monica, California. Now, Kaylee, California scientists recently identified a new strain of the virus. What do we know about it so far?
Well, there's the new strain and there's the new strain. So the new strain of, say, maybe last week, that's the one that came from the UK that has been identified in multiple Southern California counties, including Los Angeles. The big thing we know about it is that it is more contagious. Local health officials are predicting that that's going to possibly be the dominant strain as early as March. But then even just this weekend, we identified a different one that's coming from Denmark. And the sort of concerning part about that one, it's been identified in 12 counties. Most of them are in Southern California. And in this one, it's the spike protein that's mutated. And the reason that that's problematic is because our vaccines are based on the spike protein. So there's more concern that that one might be more resistant to our vaccine. We don't really have a good sense yet of how contagious it is. It's pretty brand new here. But yeah, there's plenty of new strains and concerns to keep people on their toes.
What is surpassing 1 million cases meant for the hospitals in the county? I mean, how sustainable is the current situation for them?
Well, I mean, the short answer is it's not sustainable. We're already, you know, we were seeing 0% of ICU bed availability. We were seeing ambulances get delayed because they were sitting waiting at hospitals with patients and the patients didn't have anywhere to go. And then because of that, you call an ambulance and they've been told, well, depending on how a person's doing, you know, maybe conserve the oxygen that you're giving them. We're having to think that kind of way. There's also mobile treatment sites in parking lots and backlogs in funeral homes. And like you said, the AQMD lifted environmental restrictions on cremation, and the death rate here is more than double what's normal. I mean, it's happening. People are getting through it, but it's not, you're right, it's not really sustainable.
So you have people who are suffering from COVID, but then you also have people who just need care around other issues. Maybe they've had a heart attack or a stroke. What are hospitals saying about their ability to accommodate the other types of care people need?
I mean, in terms of less emergency situations, there's been encouragement and just messages to people, if you don't need to come in, don't. I know you can split it by here's the COVID floor and here's where everybody else goes. And yes, you can still go to a hospital. It's not that they are off limits to people who don't have COVID, but I mean, you're right. If you need ICU beds, a lot of them are being taken up by COVID patients, and that does stretch resources thin for everybody else.
What are you hearing from healthcare workers, the doctors, the nurses, the people who are cleaning the hospitals? How much strain are they under right now?
it's significant. I mean, we hear a lot about healthcare workers fatigue. There's a shortage of nurses. There's people that are saying, I just don't know how much longer I can do this. We have regular nurses who talk on KCRW, and they just talk about how the mental toll of having to see so much death every day and not knowing how rough each day is going to be. There is really a significant amount of fatigue and sadness, and it's not really sustainable for them on a personal level either.
So you said you think you've reached the holiday bump at this point. You've reached a bit of a plateau. What will you be keeping an eye on in the weeks to come?
I think the concern in the weeks to come, you know, we've got our cases sort of plateauing, but everything else has a delay. So even if your cases plateau, then it takes a second for hospitalizations to plateau. And after that, you have deaths. So those numbers might continue to go up a little bit. But hopefully, because we're seeing everything else plateau, we're getting to the end of this.
That's Kaylee Wells. She's a reporter for KCRW in Santa Monica. Kaylee, thanks for the update.
Thanks so much.
Up next, The Great Gatsby entered the public domain earlier this month. What does this classic about life in the 1920s tell us about life in the 2020s? I'm Jen White. This is 1A from WAMU and NPR.